time to meet the men from the ministry. We present Wilfred Hyde White and Richard Murdoch in The Men from the Ministry, a weekly tribute to the men of the British government service. Men who, if they should make a mistake, are not afraid to step forward boldly, stamp it top secret, and file it away. We may all grumble occasionally at the complexity of our legal system. Nonetheless, we realize that these laws are framed to preserve the high moral standards for which this country is renowned. Indeed, without these laws, the whole fabric of decent society would be shattered by the activities of vicious criminals.
There's a shopkeeper here been selling condensed milk on a Sunday.
Oh, never. Are the no depths to which they won't sink to?
Disgraceful. Imagine a decent, hard-working family man going for his Sunday paper, suddenly plunged into temptation.
It's making a mockery of the Sunday Trading and Retailers Restriction Act.
Exactly. That's why we of the General Assistant Department have been asked to make these illegal Sunday sales our special concern.
Yes, but it seems to be mainly a question of checking reports from all these narcs, who've been making test purchases.
Quite right, quite right. Agents report to us and we decide when to swoop. Yes. It's watching and waiting, this game, too. We're non-stop vigil and we can't afford to relax for a... Good gracious me, it's nearly midday time. I was off to the club.
Suppose the Board of Trade ring.
I tell them I'm at the Home Office.
And if the Home Office ring?
What do you think?
You're at the Board of Trade. Ah, let's see some of these other reports. Two tins of dog food sold where? Who barking? A haggis? None eaten. I'm not surprised. I can't say. Ah, Mildred.
Oh, Mr. Lamb. Look, I've been typing up these reports from our inspectors. Are we really going to prosecute that man for selling those fresh frozen fish fingies? Fresh frozen fish fingers.
It's difficult to say, Mildred.
Yes, it is.
Mildred, we of the General Assistance Department have been given this special job of stamping out these Sunday sales. We've got to see that Englishmen can once again take their Sunday stroll without fear of brazen hussies leading out of their grocery shops and beckoning them with their fresh frozen fish fingers.
Oh, Mr. Lamb, you've gone all skittish since you got back from your holiday.
Yes. Oh, nothing like a week at Tar Beach on sea when the sun is shining. So they tell me. Rained all the time I was there. Warm rain, though, I will say that.
Oh, what a shame. Still, we got your postcard. Lovely view of the town hall.
The town hall?
Yes.
But I thought I sent you that saucy one of the fat lady bending over the Winkle stall. Oh, dear, no wonder Aunt Edith wouldn't speak to me when I came back.
Yeah, did you take any holiday photos?
Oh, yes, all the usual things, you know. The oil floating in on the tide, the waves lashing over the groin, and the inside of the bus shelter. I spent a lot of time in there. Oh, I went mad with my camera that first couple of days.
Oh, fancy.
Then I discovered I'd forgotten to remove the lens cap.
Oh, what an awful way.
Not really. I'd forgotten to put the film in, too. Anyway, I finally got the camera loaded and the cap off, and I stood on the promenade and took my first real photograph.
Of the promenade?
No, my waistcoat button. I was holding the camera the wrong way round.
Honestly, did you get any snaps or didn't you?
Yes, Mildred. I went over the ground again. I got lots of jolly interesting pictures. Mm. Oh, and that reminds me, I must take this film into the chemist's to be developed on the way home tonight.
Good day, Plunkett.
Good day, Mr. Hamilton Jones. May I take your brilliant briefcase, sir?
Thank you, Plunkett. Mr. Pomeroy in the club this morning?
No, sir. Matter of fact, none of your usual group about at the moment.
Oh.
There was one gentleman inquiring for you, sir.
Me?
Yes, I took the liberty of placing him in the smoking room. An Australian gentleman.
Australian?
Yes, he only turns up once about every 4 or 5 years.
Oh, very interesting. You better see what he wants, hadn't I? I'll go on through.
Very good, sir.
Thank you, Plunkett.
Oh, well, there you are, Golly, old dingo, let me shake that clammy old hand.
Good gracious, it's Willoughby, isn't it?
Yeah, too right, sport. Willoughby Major, well, your old schoolmate.
Yes, my word, Willoughby. Must be all of 30 years since we last met here.
31, copper. 31, yeah.
Copper.
I've often thought of you, Bup, when I was, you know, sitting under a coolabar tree, skinning a wallaby.
A wallaby, Willoughby.
Well, I've done all sorts of things. You remember the last time we met, you were just going in for your civil service exam.
That's
and
right.
I was just back from that 3,000-mile trip up the Amazon in a canoe.
What an amazing feat that was. Never thought I'd pass it, you know.
Yeah. Well, I got your letter while I was living among the Helawi pygmies.
Pygmies?
Helawi
pygmies. I don't think I've heard of them.
Oh, yeah, look, they're only 3 feet high, you know, and they live in the plains where the grass is 4 foot high. So they're always jumping up and down, shouting, "Where the hell are we?"
Ah, there they are.
Yeah.
Well, Wallaby. I do beg your pardon, I mean Willoughby. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Well, it's a joke, you see. Yeah, look, have a drink. Hey, waiter. Yeah. Waiter.
You shouted, sir.
Yeah, two brandies. Make them big ones. Me cobber and me have got a lot to talk about, haven't we? Yeah, after the pygmies, well, I went across the States riding the rods from coast to coast. I had 6 months as a bum.
Oh, very embarrassing.
Well, you know, it was early days for both of us then, wasn't it? I remember it was about then you got that crummy old job in Whitehall. General assistance or something?
Oh, I wouldn't call it a crummy job.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. General assistant department, yeah. Yes. Well, that's what I'm general assistant.
Sounds pretty dull anyway. Oh. Still, we've both come a long way since then, huh?
Yes, you've come a long way, my goodness. Yes, sir, we have.
Well, I struck oil in Texas, you know. Mm-hmm. I made and lost me first million. Then I got it back pearling in the South Pacific. Mm-hmm. And then I've been all cattle punching, whaling, skydiving. I've done just about the lot, sport.
And what are you doing here in London,
sport? Oh, well, just a routine trip around the world, you know, checking up on me business interests. I'm hoping I can fit in a bit of shark wrestling in Peru on the way home.
Yes, I hope you can.
Yes, but that's enough about me. Look, how about you?
How about me?
Well, what are you doing?
Now, what am I doing? Let me see. Oh, yes, well, I'm still with the government, you know, still with the government.
Is that so? Mm. 30 years in Whitehall. Well, you must have found that pretty boring.
Boring, did you? No, you don't have a choice. Certainly not, Willoughby. Certainly not. You needn't imagine that you freebooters are the only ones to have any adventure, you know. You needn't imagine that. My particular job's full of excitement.
Straight up?
Yes. I shouldn't be telling you this, you know, Willoughby, but it's a non-stop vigil to protect the British way of life, watching and waiting, and swooping, you know. Yes, swooping. That's the most exciting bit. Swooping.
Hey, you're not in some kind of counter-espionage.
Oh, look, what? Oh, yes, that's it. That's exactly what I am in. Counter-espionage.
Your brandy, sir. Will there be anything else?
No, thanks very much all the same. Go on, tell me more.
Yes, I can't say too much, of course, but you can take it from me. I've got agents dotted all over this country, trapping certain people who are trying to harm the British way of life.
Are you quite sure there will be nothing more, sir? Allow me, please, to tap the ash of your cigar.
No, I'll do it myself, if you don't mind. You go away, will you? Don't hang around. Chap's a foreigner, you know. Oh, no offence, Wallaby. I'm so sorry. Of course, no offence. I look on you colonials as well. Almost one of us, you know.
True? Oh, thanks. Well, so you're top man in the spy business, eh? Makes me feel pretty humble.
Oh, no need. Drink up your brandy, have another. Where's that waiter?
Well,
never here when you want him, you know.
He headed straight for that telephone over there. Oh. Hey! What? You don't reckon he overheard our conversation, do you?
Overheard, my dear fellow. But as a waiter, they're trained not to overhear things. One can speak quite freely in here. That's what a club's for.
Hello? Cricklewood Grocery Stores?
Ah, Olga. You take the high road and I'll take the low road.
And I'll be in Scotland before you.
For me and my true love will never...
No, Igor. Just the first two lines to establish identity. What do you want?
Remember how you said that if I worked at this exclusive club, I might discover the identity of the head of MI5?
The head of the British spies? Yes, Will?
I have found out. His name is Hamilton Jones, and he works under the cover of a department known as General Assistance.
How do you know this?
I overheard him speak and looked him up in the members' book.
Well done, Igor. You will get the order of the crossed plowshares for this. second class, of course. Give me the address of his office. I will go there and find out what I can.
This may be an opportunity to try out our new truth drug, Olga.
The truth drug, of course. If only I get a chance to sleep it in someone's tea. Excellent idea, Igor. Perhaps even the crossed plowshares, first class.
And if you mix the truth drug in some sugar, it would be less easy to taste. Another good idea, huh?
Don't be too clever, Igor. No man has the crossed plowshares, first class, and bar. Apart from our glorious leader. Still, you are right. I will put the truth drug in the sugar.
Shops Inspector Higgins reports that on Sunday, the 5th, Blog Self-Service Store, in contravention of the Sunday Trading and Retailers Restriction Act, sold him several sticks of frozen rhubarb. He does not know what to do with these and requests instructions. There, now let's read that back. Shops Inspector Higgins relops that on Cindy the Flint, Blongin Slantblasen Glocks in Humans. Oh dear, I'll never get the hang of this typing. Oh, I wish Mildred had come back from lunch. Ah, is that you, Mildred?
No, it is I, a harmless English tea lady, Rule Britannia. Long live the Victoria and Albert Museum. I have brought you an innocent cup of tea on my little trolley, Co-Blimey.
Oh, how splendid. I know some other departments have a tea trolley service, but we've always had to make our own.
Oh, it is a new arrangement. Important officials like yourself must be taken care of. Sugar?
No, thank you. I'm trying to give it up.
Oh, but you must. It's not wise to give it up suddenly.
Oh, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
Look what happened to Mr. Smith on the 5th floor. Oh. He gave it up suddenly. Poor fellow.
Oh, dear. What happened?
He fell down the lift shaft.
Good heavens, I'll have 4 spoonfuls.
Good, good.
Oh, what a pretty blue jar you keep the sugar in. That's not government issue, surely.
It is special government issue. Here, docs, drink it all down.
Oh, thank you very much. Unusual flavor. Did you warm the pot?
Of course. I know how to make tea. Always I am watching these chimpanzees.
Oh, oh, that was very nice.
Good. How do you feel?
It's funny you should ask that. I feel a bit, light-headed, you know, floating on air, that sort of thing.
Excellent. Now then, clear your mind. Empty it completely.
Oh, I shan't find that too difficult.
No. Ah, I see. The truth drug is already taking effect. Good. Now you will feel obliged to answer all my questions truthfully, you understand. What do you do in this department?
Oh, what do we do? As little as possible, I'd say.
A pity our glorious scientists have not yet eliminated the laughter side effect from our truth drug. Pull yourself together.
I'm trying to.
What is this department working on at the moment?
Well, we've got these agents all over the place, you see, and they're sending us reports.
Ha. So we were right.
It's the government. They're worried about the British way of life being undermined. I mean, we've got to stamp these people out.
Ruthless devils. If only I can get these reports, I may yet save some of our gallant secret agents from your filthy spies. Tell me, how do they work, these men of yours?
Oh, how do they work? Well, you see, they go in. You see? They go in and they say, oh, you scared me. Frozen rhubarb.
So, that is the password. Oh, there is someone coming. Quick, where do you keep the microfilms of your reports?
Microfilm? What microfilm?
I have no time to waste. Where do you keep a rolls of film? Hurry, hurry.
Well, this is the only roll of film I've got at the moment. It's not developed yet.
Hand it over. I must get away. The drug is wearing off.
Yeah, but I don't think... Oh, she's gone. And left her trolley behind. Funny, I felt rather strange, but it seems to have passed.
Who's that extraordinary woman who rushed past me?
thrust a ginger biscuit into my hand and mumbled something about land of hope and glory. Who was she?
Oh, that was the tea lady.
Tea lady?
Yes, for some reason she insisted on borrowing my roll of holiday film.
I didn't know her. Oh, think I'll have a cup.
Well, then perhaps I'll have another one. All right, I'll pour.
Yes, good. Anything from Sir Gregory Pitkin today?
Not so far. It's not often the permanent undersecretary leaves us in peace this long.
You're quite right.
He usually likes to put the wind up his senior staff at least once a day. Sugar's in that blue jar.
The blue jar. Thank you, thank you. It's four spoonfuls for you, isn't it? You're
like
me, a bit of a sweet tooth, eh? There we are. Four spoonfuls.
Thanks, yes. You know, there's something intriguing about the flavour of this tea.
It's very good cup of tea, isn't it? Very good cup of tea. Well, too, what have you been doing while I was at lunch?
Oh.
Eh?
I think I'm getting that feeling again.
I said, what did you do while I was at lunch?
Yes, I heard you. Oh, nothing as usual. No point in my working while you're out eating enough for two people so you can charge the bill to expenses.
I beg your pardon.
Actually, I did do something. I went and put my feet up on your desk. I often do that, pretend I'm running the department.
Two, what's come over you?
Just practicing, you know. You're bound to be retired before long. Beats me how you've hung on all this time.
I've never been so insulted in all my life. Good gracious, what a funny feeling. What's happened? I feel quite light-headed all of a sudden.
Do you?
Yes. Oh,
yes. General Assistance Department, Richard Lamb speaking.
Pitkin here.
Oh, no. It's Sir Gregory Pitkin, the permanent undersecretary. Sir Gregory, oh, how unpleasant to hear from you.
Speak up, I can't hear you. Are you busy down there?
Busy? Yeah. Oh, you're joking, of course. Oh, dear. Not that you ever do joke, you humorless old twit.
What? I can't make out a thing you're saying. It all sounds very strange. Put Hamilton Jones on.
And he's just having a cup of tea. I'm afraid you'll have to wait.
I'll have to what?
No, wait. Besides, I doubt if he'll want to speak to you. He was saying only the other day...
Put Hamilton Jones on this instant.
Yeah, all right, it's for you, one. It's the permanent humanist old lady.
Yes. Hello, Sir Gregory. I'm sorry you rang.
What the devil is going on down there?
Well, I'm just dipping a ginger biscuit into my tea.
What?
Oh, damn, the bottom's fallen off. I wish you hadn't interrupted.
Are you both drunk?
No, I don't think we're drunk, are we? Just a little light-headed, perhaps. We've had nothing but tea, you
nothing
know.
Nothing but tea?
No,
what sort of a fool you take me for?
Oh, what sort of fool do I take you for? Oh, he wants to know what sort of fool I take him for. Well, I'd say, what would you say, one of the pompous sort.
Yes,
one of the pompous sort, with a touch of regular mania. Well, I wish you wouldn't keep on saying what. I just let me tell you what sort of fool I take you for if you keep interrupting.
Hamilton Jones, I will not be spoken to like this.
Ah, we got him.
I'm far too busy to deal with you now, but I'll be around in your office tomorrow.
Yes.
You'd better have a very good explanation of this disgraceful behavior.
And the same to you.
Oh, I say, when you actually hung up on Sir Gregory.
Yes.
I never knew you had it in you.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Let's see if there's any more tea in that pot.
Yes,
shall we?
Let's, shall we?
Igor, you have processed the film I got from this man at the ministry?
See, Olga, here in the developing tank. They have obviously made great strides in espionage. It is the largest microfilm I've ever seen. Look, the first prints are beginning to show.
Ah, it seems they have some new form of flying machine.
Mm.
Round and flat, see? With four little holes in the middle.
What superb simplicity of design. One could have thought it was a button. Have we a magnifying glass?
Yeah, I will rip open these VT puffs. There is a free magnifying glass with every packet.
Running a grocery shop has its uses, besides being a perfect cover for our organization. Ah, see, the other prints are coming out.
They are all blurred.
Oh.
It is obvious. We need one of their people to interpret these pictures for us.
But we cannot kidnap one of the men. They are tough, trained spies. Beneath that stupid exterior, they will be superb fighting machines.
The men, yes. But there is a girl in that office.
How do you know?
I caught a glimpse of her drawers. They were full of knitting patterns and pictures of Rich Clifford.
So, it is she we must kidnap.
Precisely. Tonight, you follow her. Find out where she lives. Tomorrow, when she leaves for work, you will collect her and bring her here.
Bye now, I'm off. I don't know what time I'll be home. I may be going down for Dolce Vita. Ta-ra! Oh, this flipping rain. And I've missed me bus. Be another 20 minutes before the next half dozen come along.
Good morning, miss. The rain is very wet, yes? Can I offer you a lift?
Oh, I don't know. My mum would have a fit.
Never take lifts from strangers, huh? Well, my name is Igor, and I do like knitting and rich people, so we are no longer strangers.
Well, yeah, but my mum says taking lifts is inviting a face worse than... Oh, that's so cozy in here. Yeah, I hope I'm not dripping on you.
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, why are you turning left? That's not the way to Whitehall. We're heading for Cricklewood.
Well, it's perhaps not the shortest way, but I feel it's the prettiest.
Good morning, two.
Morning, one.
Tell me, sir, did I...
No, you go first, man. What were you going to say?
Tell me, did I by any chance speak to Sir Gregory on the phone yesterday afternoon?
Yes, you did.
Oh. Did I happen to call him?
Yes, you did.
Thought I had.
And if you remember it, then I didn't imagine it. One, whatever came over us, I felt a sudden compulsion to tell the truth.
Yes, so did I. Extraordinary. Suddenly started speaking. Mr. Gregory will be round here sometime today, breathing fire and smoke. How are you going to explain things to him, eh?
Me? Oh, I thought I'd... I don't feel very well, one. Can I have the rest of the day off?
Out of the question, too. We mustn't run away. We must face the music, take our medicine like a man. Pity I can't be here when Sir Gregory calls, or I'd show you.
But, Van, you don't mean to say that...
You'll just have to pretend it was some kind of practical joke. I can't bother with the details. Anyway, too, the best plan would be to impress Sir Gregory with the way we're getting on with our work, especially this Sunday sales scandal.
Yes, perhaps if we could make some kind of swoop.
Ah, you said it's a swoop. That's what we want, a swoop.
Let's go through these reports again.
Hello, look at these people. Started selling strawberry jam on a Sunday now.
Well, I hope it doesn't spread.
Had to get Mildred in to do a quick summary of these things.
Yeah, that's another problem, one. Mildred isn't in the office yet.
What do you mean? Not here. It's 11:50.
I know. It's not like Mildred to miss her coffee break. Oh, I wonder what's happened to her.
Do not worry. We have the girl. Igor is with her now. Of course, it may be difficult, but I think he will make her talk. Goodbye. I wonder if we can make her talk. I will see.
And then this man, see, not Clive Sarandon, the blue-eyed film producer, but suave devil-may-care Antonio Roma, the international playboy. Well, anyway, this man, he takes Deirdre Whittaker, that's the pert blonde shorthand typist, he takes her in his arms and... Now, wait a minute, what happened next?
Enough! We did not bring you here to discuss the serial in Women and Knitting.
Igor... Can you make her talk?
Make her talk? I can't stop her.
Yes, this evasive nonsense. They have trained her well. But ultimately, little potato, you will disclose your department's comprehensive technological and strategic daughter.
Do what?
Listen. You will start again, and this time we do not want stories from your women's magazine. We want the facts.
Ooh. Well, he never often has any facts. Well, it's a recipe, of course. If you take some sponge cake, half a pint of custard and some jelly, then...
Fool! Do not trifle with us.
Pardon me. Yeah. When are you going to tell me what all this is about? It's a sort of... It's a college rag or something. Or it's one of those quiz programs. You've got a hidden camera. And Olga's going to take her wig off and turn out to be Bob Monkhouse.
Enough. We are wasting time. We shall have to use more painful methods. Tie her to the chair, Igor.
Yes.
Yeah, stop it, you beast. Get her off. You're treating me dolly rocker. Get her off.
Excellent. Show her the photographs, Igor. Now then, what do these mean?
Oh, well, they mean you're not a very good photographer. Let go, I'll scream.
Scream all you wish. Who would suspect an innocent grocer shop in Cricklewood? Igor, we must find ways to make her cooperate.
We could cut out her tongue. That would make her talk.
Here, now stop it. You're going too far.
Or else we could pull off her fingernails one by one.
You can't do that. I've got to give him back to Mavis on Monday. I only borrowed him.
There is someone in the shop.
Gag her, quick. I will get rid of the customer.
Yeah, don't you dare put that rotten Yankee in my...
When she returns, we will begin to make you crack. We shall slowly unravel the knitting in your handbag. And then we shall start on you. You will not leave this place alive.
Igor, we must fly. It is the police.
What? No use. The place is surrounded by policemen. Stay where you are.
Watch the man, Constable. He looks dangerous.
Curses. We underestimated you. How did you track us down?
Oh, we have our methods. Thank you very much. Nest of villains like this, you didn't think you were going to get away with it, did you?
You knew all the time what we were doing.
Ah, we knew what you were doing, all right. Well, perhaps you'd read the charge sheet.
Very good idea, yes. I'll read the charge sheet. Now, listen, you two. You are charged that on the 15th of this month, being a Sunday morning, you did willfully sell a pot of jam. I sworn you, anything you say, you'll take him down and you...
How do you spell that?
All right, Constable, take him away.
I say, what is that Mildred over there in the corner?
Mildred, yes, I believe it is.
Bound and gagged, too, really, Mildred. It's too bad of you. We badly needed you at the office this morning. These young people today have no sense of responsibility.
None at all.
First class is job of work, gentlemen. And as head of the government's intelligence service, I want to tell you that we in security are proud of you.
Oh.
Yes, we've been after those two spies for a long time, and you caught them red-handed.
Oh, my dear sir, it was nothing.
Please, please, no formality, no sirs. Call me Q.
Well, as I said, it was nothing, Q.
Yes, actually, of course, Q. You see, we had absolutely no idea that those people...
I'm sure Mr. Q isn't interested in trivial details.
Well, it was clever, you see. Pinning them down on a technicality like selling strawberry jam so we could pull them in. We've got the full story out of them, you see. And I trust your secretary's none the worse for her experience.
Apart from having lost a certain amount of faith in Bob Monkhouse.
Ah, splendid. Well, I mustn't stay too long. I understand your superior, Sir Gregory Pitkin, is waiting in the outer office.
Oh, dear.
No doubt he's itching to get in here and shake you by the hand.
Yeah, I think by the throat more like
it. Yes, I would think so. Sir Gregory, yes.
Well, I must be off now. I have to call in at the post office and renew all our 00 licenses. I'll send Sir Gregory in on my way out.
Did you hear that? He's sending Sir Gregory in on his way out.
You know, one, we may be heroes to MI5, but to Sir Gregory, we're just two chaps who were rude on the phone.
You know, I still can't think what made us talk to him like that. We were sitting here drinking our tea when he rang, and suddenly I had this urge to tell the truth.
Yes,
Sir Gregory Pitkin, sir.
Oh,
in government service, I have never had a better cup of tea than your secretary makes. Very, very generous with the sugar, too. It's funny, though. It made me feel a little light-headed.
Sir Gregory, when I said on the phone yesterday that we were never busy in this department...
You were telling the truth, yes. Well, let's face it. You don't like work. I don't like work, so to hell with it.
What, Sir Gregory?
Well, I do as little work as possible, you know. Of course, I can cover up better than you. All those committees I'm on can nod off if I feel like it, or play footsie with that woman from the Home Office.
Oh, this is very interesting, Sir Gregory. Footsie with that woman from the Home Office. Please, turn on the tape recorder, will you?
Yes, I
will. Now, Sir Gregory, let me pour you some more tea. And do go on talking.